Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show. This session shows the Franklin, Mass. Board of Health meeting held on Wednesday, January 6, 2021. The meeting was conducted in a hybrid format. Some of the health department were in the municipal building. The remainder of the committee and the public were remote via conference bridge, all to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. The show notes contain links to the meeting agenda and to my notes. The meeting recording runs about 39 minutes, so let's listen to the Board of Health meeting on Wednesday, January 6, 2021.
Okay. All right, so it's 5:02. Do you got the script, or you want Tim to do it?
I got it.
All right, well then, go on.
Thank you. All right, so as a preliminary matter, this is Bridget Sweet. Then permit me to confirm that all members and persons anticipated on the agenda are present and can hear me. Members, when I call your name, please respond to the affirmative. Vice Chair Tim Cochran.
Here.
Member Jeff Harris.
Jeff?
Here.
Cool. Staff, here. When I call your name, please respond in the affirmative. Kathleen Liberty, Director of Public Health.
Here.
Ginny, the Health Agent.
Here.
Tyler, Administrative.
Here.
Cool, thanks. So good evening. This open meeting of the Franklin Board of Health is being conducted remotely, consistent with Governor Baker's executive order of March 12, 2020, due to the current state of emergency in the Commonwealth and the outbreak of the COVID-19 virus. In order to mitigate the transmission of this virus, we've been advised and directed by the Commonwealth to suspend public gatherings, and as such, the governor's order suspends the requirement of the ONL loft to have all meetings in a publicly accessible physical location. Further, all members of the public body are allowed and encouraged to participate remotely. The order, which you can find posted with the agenda materials for this meeting, allows public bodies to meet entirely remotely, so long as reasonable public access is afforded, so the public can follow along with the deliberations of this meeting. Ensuring public access does not ensure public participation. However, this meeting will allow public comment if necessary. For this meeting, the Board of Health is convening by a telephone video conference via the Google Hangout application, as posted on the town's website identifying how they may join. Please note this meeting is being recorded and that some attendees are participating by video conference. Accordingly, please be aware that other folks may be able to see you and take care not to screen share your computer. Anything you broadcast may be captured by the recording. And now we will turn to the first item on the agenda. Before we do so, permit me to cover some ground rules for effective and clear conduct of our business to ensure accurate meeting minutes. I, the chair, will introduce each speaker on the agenda. After they conclude their remarks, we'll go down the line of members, inviting each by name to provide any additional comment, question, or motion. Please hold until your name is called. Furthermore, please remember to mute your phone or computer when you're not actively speaking, and please remember to speak clearly in a way that helps generate accurate minutes. For any response, please wait until the chair yields the floor to you and state your name prior to speaking. After members have spoken, the chair will afford public comment as follows. We'll ask members of the public who wish to speak to identify their names and addresses only. Finally, each vote taken in this meeting will be conducted by roll call vote. So let me go back to the agenda. So the first item on the agenda is the reading and the acceptance of December 2nd, 2020 meeting minutes. I was not at that meeting, so I would defer to both Tim and Jeff as to those minutes and their acceptance. Any discussion on the minutes?
No, the meetings looked accurate.
Also,
is there a motion to accept the meeting minutes as submitted?
Motion to accept the meetings from the December 2nd, 2020 meeting as submitted.
Is there a second? Jeff?
I second it.
All right, and let's do a roll call vote. So Tim is?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
And Bridget Sweet will abstain because she was not present. So 2-0-1 for that. Going down to old business, any of the board members, fellow board members, have any old business?
This is Tim Cochran. I don't have any old business to present to the board tonight.
Thank you. Jeff?
No, I have none.
All right. So with that being said, I'm going to roll over to Kathleen Liberty for all of the new business updates that we have at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, so first is the dashboard update. Have you, I think I sent you all the new dashboard that Anne-Marie Tracy, our marketing and communication person, had put together for us. We being Jamie and myself kind of didn't really like just utilizing that, you know, the number of cases, the spreadsheet that we use, a number of cases, number of closed, a number of isolation. We felt like it was giving kind of a false read, where it looked like we had 91 cases, but we went up into the red. So we wanted to provide the community with some really good, solid information in a user-friendly way. So anyways, every week, Anne-Marie takes information from the COVID-19 weekly public health report and puts it into that format. Now you can find that on Franklin website, the COVID portal. So she does that. And also, if you follow the DPH dashboard, you'll notice that their dashboard that look like ours, we kind of mirrored that, has changed entirely into a different format. So just so you know. But you know, stay tuned. We'll keep going every week, but you won't get that spreadsheet from me any longer. It's just Anne-Marie and the superintendent are kind of using the history data for themselves, and Jamie kind of looks at it too. But so I just wanted to give you a little update on how that came about and you know why we'll continue using it. So it's good data, good information for the public.
Kathleen, I just want to interrupt you for a minute and just say thank you to you and obviously to Anne-Marie. I think the dashboard looks great. I think that there's definitely a need to clarify some of the information. I think the public in general is an information overload. So anything that can kind of condense and or make it easier to digest and understand is awesome. And I know it's not directly related, but I also want to thank you and town administration and Anne-Marie again for some of the social media postings you guys have been doing to remind people to wear their mask, you know, the Do Your Part campaign. So I just wanted to bring that, it's sort of related, but not really, but it's not unnoticed and it's super appreciated.
Oh, well, thank you. And I know Anne-Marie will appreciate that, but, and to the chair, if you don't mind, I can kind of go to the messaging grant update, just kind of transition. Sure. We were just talking about. So I'm gonna try and share my screen. I'm gonna try and give that a whirl in a minute. But Health and Human Services, right? So our Region 2 for emergency preparedness, they offer us money for different categories. And one of them was messaging. And so I coordinated with Anne-Marie as to, you know, what should we do to get, you know, not so much Facebook or social media, but what could we do for the community to really, you know, get that message out there, to social distance and, you know, wear your face covering and wash your hands, the three simple things to help, you know, stop the spread of the virus, right? So anyways, I'm gonna try and share my screen. I'm not sure it will work. I'm not really good at this, but Anne-Marie came up with some really, really good media. Present now one sec. Versus me and Bridget, we're a little bit darker, right? Bridget and I had this cartoon of,
I still like mine. I don't care what anyone says.
We're dark, right? So it's a Little Red Riding Hood, right? And she's in the woods and there's a wolf that has COVID on it. And she's like, you can't hurt me, you know. I don't know why she said it. And he said, I'm following you home to your grandma's house. And I don't know about you, me and Anne-Marie, Bridget, we really kind of felt like that's kind of like effective, but Jamie thought it was not effective. So she came up with something else and I can't share it because, hold on, let me get it up here. Maybe I can share it, not sure. Let me try one more time for you.
But even the Ben Franklin campaign, those things, I think that they're, I think it's great.
Yeah, so I'm showing it now.
Okay.
Guide to health and safety. You know, can you guys see that?
Yeah, that's great.
Okay. So that being said, I asked for $4,500 for messaging, right, through through our region, and we ended up, Emory ended up getting three signs at the MBTA, two signs at Forge Park, I think it's a poster size, a banner over the bridge at the T-stop, I don't know if you've seen that, and a banner at the high school complex, and hopefully she might be coordinating with Dean College to have a banner there, but she's going to use a bulldog instead. I guess that must be their mascot. So anyways, we actually used the entire $4,500 for messaging for the community. So I feel really pleased about that. So I wanted to share. Yeah. Any questions before we move on?
No.
I'm good. I just want to make sure that, you know, it's definitely appreciated. It has been noticed. So thank you and the staff, and then also Emory for the creativity behind that, because a science does not equal creativity.
Yeah, she did a great little Red Riding Hood in Wolf too, but.
All right, we can still like it.
Yeah, I love it. All right, so. So I'll go back to the second agenda item. And if I'm talking too fast, just slow me down, okay? Because it's been 9 months. Mm-hmm. Discussion of COVID-19 vaccine for first responders. All right, so there's a lot to tell you, actually. So it looked like all of a sudden, was it last week, Bridget? I think it was just last week that the Department of Public Health asked for the local health departments to coordinate with, you know, regionalize a little bit with other surrounding towns to hold a clinic for first responders. So, you know, Bridget and I talked, and Jamie and I talked, and, you know, Franklin has got a really good EDS site and using the Franklin High School. So I reached out to Bellingham, Milford, Millis, and Medway. Is it Medway? Yeah, Medway. And asked if they wanted to join Franklin in providing vaccine for the first responders. And they were all very grateful because they don't, not everybody can order vaccine, only Millis, mm-hmm. It was the only town that could order the vaccine, right? So that was a plus. And we had the location, which is a plus. So we decided to go for it. And so what happened? So let me just think what happened after that. So
they changed the requirements 12 times.
To what?
They changed the requirements 12 times, asked you to sell your firstborn, and then maybe you would get the vaccine is what happened.
Right, yeah. I know, it's kind of a blur. So long story short, let me just, I guess I'll pop ahead. We met yesterday, the health directors, and we decided after finding out, the vaccine was available on the 11th and Millis received it, yesterday, which would have been the 12th I'm ahead a week. I'm sorry. So it was supposed to be available on the 11th, but Millis received it yesterday. And so we decided to go ahead with the 13th would be our first vaccine clinic. The 20th would be the second if we needed it. And then of course, this is the follow-up, right, for the second shot. So that being said, now we have to kick into gear and, you know, get it all put together. So I met with Jamie and the fire chief, and, you know, they basically are very supportive and said, look, you've done the coordinating. Let us, you know, let the fire department kind of work this as a, you know, a NIMS or an incident command center or situation. And, you know, Jamie was fine with that. Of course, I'm fine with that. And we all met together today. The incident commander is Deputy Barberry. I think that's the way pronunciation of his last name. Sorry. And you know, we came together. Jamie Lucas, the assistant superintendent, the principal, police, fire, came together and we formed a plan that will take place next Wednesday. And I'm really grateful for everybody's support, including the other health directors. And so we're just going to be really working hard to make sure that that's a success. We're looking at vaccinating 400. We're looking at vaccinating 400 first responders, or thereabouts. So, and this is kind of, Laurie Roy is the a lieutenant at the fire department, and she just showed the schematic of how it will look. And so basically, that's it. And I'm sure you have plenty of questions.
Kathleen, actually, yeah. I do. Are you doing everyone at once?
No. So the police chief, the police chiefs, the fire chiefs, I don't know who's in charge of the dispatchers, how that looks, but they're going to be doing a roster for every, so there'll be, a roster for this clinic and then a roster for on the 20th, because they can't. Can everybody mute, please? Because hold on. Let me just mute everybody. I can't. It's not like Zoom. So can everybody mute, please? All right. Anyways, does anybody have any other questions? I mean, I'll keep updating you as we get closer. Tomorrow is the day that I'll be looking for more nurses, more volunteers. The paramedics are going to be doing the vaccinating, which is really helpful. We need additional volunteers and we need additional nurses as well. So,
do you have enough data logger capacity and cooling capacity on site to hold the vaccine for the predetermined period of time? And once it's transferred to Millis, it can only be transferred once, right? So, what happens there? Does Millis keep care in custody and then just vaccinate on behalf of the entire region?
Yep. They're okay. In custody. I think today, Bridget, I think I got an email from MIIS, so I believe I'm on. Not positive yet what that means, so hopefully I can order vaccines as well. So Millis is running it's their PIN number, right? So it's their purchase of the vaccine. So there is a nurse who's on the Board of Health who's been doing their flu clinics for 30 years now, more or less. I don't know. She's wonderful. She called. She said, "Look, this is our town. We're all working together. I will, run the show." Which she's going to be the lead nurse, which is great. She'll work in conjunction with the EMTs, and it will be, we know there's going to be bumps in the road, but that's okay, right? So, we'll work that out as we move along.
Yeah, of course. And did you get the full allotment for your? Or were you guys reduced by 20%?
I'm sorry. We got the full allotment. Millis got 50 doses and 10 doses per. So,
Good.
All right.
Okay. There are a couple of questions raised. Are you able to see those via the system? Should that be the way they're raised, or should we just interject like I am now? I apologize.
I'm not.
I can't see them.
Oh, wait a minute. Maybe this is it. Steve, do you know how I can see it? If I'm
on the bottom of your screen, where it shows your meeting details, it also should show kind of like the microphone, the hang up, video on or off. It also has a spot for participants with the number of participants currently at 13. And there are three hands raised. One of them is mine. Laurie Roy has her hand raised and David Kay has his hand raised.
Yeah, I can't see it. So, yeah. Oh, I see it. Okay. So Steve, go ahead. Yeah.
I'll let those two go first. Mine was on the dashboard, and then we can come back to that later. It's not material.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so who's the other? So Laurie and who? Laurie, you can go.
I recognize Laurie. Go.
Hi there, guys. I just wanted to put up that ICS chart so people had a better understanding of what we were doing at the fire department. So we have the capability to be able to vaccinate people, and we can supplement all the nurses that are available to us. We just need to know logistics. We need to know how many nurses, how many volunteers, and whatnot, so that we can plug everybody in so everybody's being used efficiently. We came up with a plan. We've done this before. I don't know who was around when we did the H1N1 clinics, but this is very similar. And I think everybody's been doing a great job with the coordinating and trying to get together to plan this stuff. But just so you know, there's no slight on everybody by the ICS chart that we did. As far as that chart goes, that's more for like operations and whatnot. The health department is certainly above us because you guys have been planning this thing. All right, so we just need to rewrite that a little bit. As far as the technical specialist, that's where I see the nurse from Millis fitting in, because she's going to need to be right up there. We're going to need data loggers, because honestly, fire department's not familiar with MIIS. We've never done it before, and we don't quite know how the system works. So I just did the onboarding last week, and it's cumbersome. Okay, so we're going to need a lot of help with that. So we're good at we'll be able to give the vaccine, we'll be able to do the medical monitoring and whatnot, but we need help with all that other stuff. I don't see the need to have a whole bunch of vaccination stations. The way ICS works is it expands and contracts. So we wrote the ICS plan as a middle of the road thing. So when you look at that, we have four vaccination stations. If we wind up needing 8, we can expand it to 8. If we wind up needing only 2, we can contract it to 2. And then we move our personnel around based on the ICS. So when you look at that, we can move people into different sectors. That's not like a hard plan. It just gives us a general idea of what we need to do, middle of the road, and go from there. So just so you guys have a better understanding of that, I mean, this is something that we do on an emergency incident every single day. We go to a call. When we have to triage, we have to make a decision as far as medical screening goes, what we're going to do for that patient, and then we have to treat them, and then we have to take care of them, get them to a point of care. Okay, so we're used to doing this on a daily basis. We're very comfortable with that, and we want to be involved in the planning of this, so that's why we went ahead and we created that ICS chart. So that's really it. I just wanted to bring you guys up to speed, and that is all. I hope that everything works out, and we appreciate any help that we can get, because honestly, guys, we're exhausted. We need to get vaccinated sooner than later, and we just need to get this done. This has been a long time coming, and it stinks that the rules keep changing, that every day we get a different set of guidance, but we all need to work together on this, and we can do this, okay? We got this. No, all of us.
This is Bridget Sweet, the chair. I definitely appreciate the ICS chart. We know that there's no flight, so we definitely appreciate all the support. Maybe offline tomorrow, you and I and Kathleen can talk about getting the, I don't think that we should buy data loggers per se, but I think we can borrow them in the time being, as every other sort of region, you know, everyone's doing the same thing. So we may be able to get data loggers in, or the small coolers that maintain temperature for that period of time. I'm very familiar with MIIS, so we can definitely figure out what that looks like.
That's great.
We can talk later in the week, but definitely appreciate all the support for the health department. I know you guys are just as crazy as Kathleen, Ginny, and Tyler.
Right. All right, thank you. We appreciate that. We're used to having to document like our own run reports and whatnot. So as far as everything that we're seeing on the guidance, it says that the vaccinators are supposed to input the stuff into MIIS, blah, blah, blah. So we were a little bit worried about that piece of it. And we appreciate whatever support we can get. And we're going to help out however we can, because we just want to get our people vaccinated. That's all.
You got it. Thank you so much. Any, Jeff or Tim, anything for Laurie before?
Just thank you, Laurie. This is Tim Cochran. An immense amount of thanks, I think, goes out to the whole fire department for the work that they've been doing over the last 9 months, and with the work that they'll continue to do. We're looking forward to this being a success. So,
Also, okay. For your help. Appreciate that so much.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, guys. And we appreciate your help.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. David, do you still have a question? David? Oh, okay. Steve, he took his hand down. So you want to go next about the
just a minor point, maybe two. Certainly the new dashboard has been added to the homepage. So when you get to the COVID portal, it's there above. Add it also to the COVID Franklin local data. So it's in two places, because if some people are looking for it, may not miss that first one, would find it on the second one. And then on the page itself, because the data is certainly based upon the state report, based upon what I've seen so far, put a date on it when it's as of. So that anybody Perfect. Trying to do any correlations will be able to know what date it was reported through.
Okay. All right. Good points. All right.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that. Any more questions about the vaccine clinic? No? Okay. Can I move on, Bridget?
Yeah, I'm excited about your virtual PIC training grant update.
I know, right? I'm so happy about that. So through the AFTO and FDA I applied for a grant for virtual person in charge training. And so just so you know, person in charge, and I'm sure you both know this, all three, I know Bridget knows, you know, person in charge in a food establishment has to have a lot of knowledge, right? And has to be in charge, and there has to be someone there all the time. And it's very difficult for this person if they don't have the proper training. And throughout my career, I have always found that, you know, when we're doing an inspection in a food establishment, right? So there's so much going on. There's, you know, food preparation, and we're trying to, you know, get the attention of a person in charge, and, you know, things fall through the cracks, right? So what I've always found is that if you pull that person out of that environment and give them a place where no question is stupid, where they can focus, and where, you know, where they're going to learn, right? Because it's really hard to learn in that type of environment. So I found through the years that person in charge training is really vital. And in Marlboro, I made it mandatory if you're going to open up a food establishment, that was, you had to not, I didn't want the managers in there. I want the staff in there, right? The staff who's just overturns all the time, but needs to know what's going on. So I've been doing this since I started my career in Watertown, and I just always found it was great. And the objective is to decrease the violations, right, and increase the person in charge knowledge. So I partnered with Mojin Solutions to do this virtual person in charge training, which gave me a breakdown. Let me just see where it is. Oh, here it is. So basically, you know, the class includes a narrative of 40 chapters. There'll be quizzes, a final quiz, you know, 2 hours to complete the class and final quiz, a certificate of completion. You know, so it's really, really good information for them, and they can do it from, you know, the comfort of their own home now. So I got the grant is $3,000, and they only charge $12 a training. So I'll be able to get a ton of people through the next. So this goes a whole year cycle. So I wasn't really sure, but I got it, and we got to start that. The training will be available on January 20th. So I think I'll start with some of the tougher food establishments that have a lot of, I'll just say violations, you know, send a letter to those and requiring, I'm actually, if it's okay with the board, would require, due to your past performance and past inspection report, you know, you are required, your staff is required to take this. And I'd like to approach it that way.
I think that's reasonable. I do have a question though. With the shift in person in charge responsibilities encompassing a lot of the COVID stuff, is this training going to touch on any of that, or is it straight food safety?
I think it's just food safety, but I can ask her. Yeah.
So that's fine. Or even if there's just like a one pager at the end that you know, once they completed the training, here's what you need to know, something like that. But I think that that's great. I think you should absolutely, I don't know that we need to vote. Do you want us to vote on it in case anyone pushes back?
It's not a vote. I don't think it's a vote. Do you?
All right. I don't think so, but I don't imagine that people will be kind of, I mean, this is a good opportunity for operators and business owners as well. So I think it's great. I appreciate you going out and getting that grant, and I appreciate your partnership with Mojin and Maureen in order to get this to happen, because you know, it's not the manager or the owner, it's the employees that often have, you know, intrinsic challenges. So I appreciate it. Jeff, Ken?
I was just going to say the same thing, Bridget. I think this is a really important resource that we have now to take advantage of, because so much has been changing, and yet things are still the same. So to have the opportunity to provide this type of training to our establishments, I think that's great. So I don't have anything to add.
Yeah, thank you. And I have seen it work, or you know, so in the past towns. So I'm excited to start it here. I really am. Any other questions or?
Yeah. Sorry, I was on mute there. Is it sometimes needed to have more than one person in charge to some of these
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got some tough places out here, but we're gonna change that with this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jeff, there's a minimum requirement prescribed in the food code to how many licensed person in charge you have to get, so that's all accounted for in the food code.
Well, thank you so much for doing that. It's a great job.
Yeah, thanks.
I concur. Thanks, Kathleen. The LUA for 441 Maples.
Yep. Ginny's gonna do that if that's okay.
That's fine. Did we get anything for that? I don't see anything.
Oops. No, Ginny.
Yeah, it's just a local upgrade approval. It's a repair for 441 Maple Street. They're asking for pursuant to 310 CMR 404 15.405B. The 36 inches is usually the maximum required for the components, and they're asking for a variance of a local upgrade approval of 4 feet 5 inches. And Wade, our septic person, recommended the approval, so as long as you, as the board approves, we can approve it.
Are they going from a 3 to a 4, or are they just repairing based on a failed system?
No, they're repairing the exact same system. They're asking to put the components, the tank, and the
that's fine. Yeah, so as long as I wasn't here, they were.
Yep. I think I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
No, you're good, Ginny. I wasn't sure if they were going for a repair and an upgrade at the same time, but this is literally just a repair for an existing system with a reduction in.
I think since the plumbing, they try and match the plumbing because it's an existing house, so it would cost a lot of money to raise the plumbing up, you know. And so we only allow it for a repair, so.
That's fine.
Okay.
We need to vote on that. So, Tim and Jeff, any additional questions to Ginny and or Kathleen regarding the process?
No,
not for me.
Okay, so is there a motion to accept the local upgrade approval for reduction in, 4 feet to 3 feet, Ginny?
36 inches to 53 inches, 4 feet, 5 inches. I'm so confusing. 4 feet, 5 inches, that's what they want.
4 feet, 5 inches.
Yeah. Sure? Where are you going?
I'm going inches and feet, but 4 feet, 5 inches.
Okay. So is there a motion to accept the request for local upgrade approval at 441 Maple Street?
Motion to accept the request.
Is there a second? Yeah. Okay. So roll call vote. Tim?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
And the chair votes yes. So there is a motion to approve the local upgrade approval at 441 Maple Street. Thanks, Ginny.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ginny.
Last but not least, approval of Board of Health monthly meeting dates for 2021.
I think we're I'd go ahead and, I mean, and unless there's any discussion between Jeff and Tim, I'm fine with the first Wednesday of the month, unless something totally horrific happens or it's crazy busy.
Unless there's a need to change, unless there's a need to hold a meeting sooner or postpone a meeting to later, I have no problem with the proposed schedule.
Okay.
I'm fine. Good with it.
All right. So do you want us to vote on it so it's ratified, Kathleen?
Actually, Jenny, do they need to vote? I haven't done this yet with them, so.
I think we usually vote on it, I feel like.
Yeah, I think you need to vote because I need to post them for the year. And
you voted on them that year.
Oh, you did? Okay. All right.
Okay. So is there a motion?
To accept the proposed Board of Health meeting schedule for the year 2021.
Second?
Second it.
All right. So we'll do a roll call vote. Tim?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yeah.
And the chair votes yes. So all in favor to accept the monthly meeting date for 2021. That sounds terrible, doesn't it?
Yeah. I can't wait to say it except for 2022.
Oh, my goodness. I'll be out. My term is over.
Really? Oh, I'm then all right. We'll slow down the year. All right.
I don't know if people will vote me back in after COVID. Okay, we go down to citizens' commentary. I don't know. I can't see because I'm on the line, but if there are any other comment in the box, Kathleen, that you can see?
I just realized how to do that, so.
Yeah, look at that. Every day.
Yeah. I know, right? So bad. No. I don't see any hands. I don't see anything.
Okay, Tim or Jeff, anything else you want to cover?
Laurie said, thank you, everyone. I love the dashboard.
Cool.
I'm all set. Thank you, everyone.
Okay.
I'm good.
Awesome. Thank you. Again, I know that this is ridiculous, but just another thank you on behalf of the board. I think that you, Ginny, and Tyler have been working like crazy. I know that you've created and cultivated partnerships across different department heads and or other stakeholders to try to make this COVID response as least or as less overwhelming as possible. So I appreciate that. I appreciate all of the hoops you had to jump through for the first responder vaccination training. I know that the ask for a very short turnaround time, sometimes the same day. I'm trying to get information over to MIAS or whatever the state was looking for at that time. So I just really, really appreciate all of the work. I know that some of your interactions have been more difficult or have been difficult based on the additional restriction of 25% capacity. So I know that this has not been easy on any of you. And I do really, really appreciate it. And I can't thank you enough. I know that this is draining. I know Lori brought that up as well, but this is extremely hard for you guys as well. And I just really, I'm just very, very grateful that you're the team that's in place right now. So thank you.
Thanks, Bridget. We appreciate it. We really do. And you know, I'm sitting here nodding while you're talking.
I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I think it's important. I think sometimes, you know, your department in particular gets a lot of blame. You didn't make these rules. You just have to enforce them. So I know that it's hard, and I know it's hard for businesses as well. I know that this is not fun for anyone. So I appreciate the grants that you were able to obtain. I appreciate the additional training you're trying to get for these operators so that as they continue to, you know, hopefully to stay open and respond to the pandemic, but they have better food safety practices that will increase their bottom line as well. So it's definitely appreciated. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And with that being said, if there is a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn the meeting.
Ooh, exciting. Is there a second?
Yes,
that's on mute.
You didn't hear me?
No.
All right, so we'll go down. Roll call vote. Tim?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
All right. All right, well, then I will also have an emphatic yes. So at that point, we will conclude the Board of Health meeting on January 6th at 5:41 p.m. Thank you so much for your time, everyone. Have a great night.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Oh, yeah, Happy New Year. So.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. And by the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.